Before today's message, we want to take just a moment to talk about something amazing, shortwave radio. Today it reaches 17 nations and nearly 3.8 billion people, almost half the world's population. Long before the internet, streaming, or smartphones, God was already using the airwaves to carry the gospel across oceans and borders, into places where churches and Christian programming are simply not available. These signals reach remote villages, quiet homes, and places we may never see this side of heaven. Each week, Christian worship hours heard by people turning a simple radio dial, often late at night or early in the morning, searching for hope and finding the Word of God. Today, we'd like to share just one of those stories. I work as a sailor in the Merchant Navy, traveling throughout the Pacific Islands. We are currently bound for China for maintenance. It is a blessing to have Christian Worship Hour broadcasting on the shortwave band. It keeps us sailors inspired at sea. That letter represents countless listeners around the world, people we may never meet, but who are connected to us through the power of the gospel and a faithful radio signal. As you listen today, remember you are part of something far greater than a single broadcast. God is using these messages to reach hearts around the world, and with that same unchanging hope, reaching hearts around the world. Let us now turn to today's message from Pastor Salem. I know my Redeemer liveth. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a good time today. We're going to be talking about this wonderful risen Christ. We just celebrated Easter here a couple of weeks ago, and now we're going to look at a man who put his faith into God and talks about the kinsman redeemer. It's a wonderful, wonderful story, illustration of what's going to happen to those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus. We're going to be raised again. So we're looking at Psalm 73, where the psalmist writes, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. For lo, they that fare from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a great God, that we can rely upon you. And as the psalmist says, there's nowhere to turn but to you, and you're always there, and your arms are always open to us. If we come and confess our sins, you'll take us in and take us into your heart. You'll cleanse us from our sins. You'll write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll prepare a mansion for us over there. Oh God, we just pray today that everyone who hears this service, every last one without exception, pray that they'll open their heart to Jesus and find everlasting life. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to start it with a song I know you're going to like, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?" So God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's song, won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? See, yeah. friend to save me in the end. Oh, won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord. Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. But when I face that chilling hand of death, oh, won't you tell me where could I go but to the tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord?
Well, God bless you, Hank. And I guess we have to ask that question. If you don't go to Jesus, where are you going to go? You're going to go to education. You're going to go to the philosophers. You're going to go to the false prophets. Peter said, about following Jesus. And he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of life. That's a question that has never been answered. If you don't go to Jesus, where are you going to go? There is no other place to go, believe me. There's false prophets, a lot of theories, and a lot of teachings, and a lot of cults that are out there, but there's only one Son of God, God Himself, Jesus Christ, and the Heavenly Father and the wonderful Holy Spirit. And through faith in Jesus, that's the place to go. And I pray every one of you that are watching us today and listening in on shortwave, oh, if you don't know Jesus, I pray you pray right now and just say, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I just will ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins and I'll follow you the best I can, Lord. Thank you. That's all you need to do. Whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we got our letters. We really got a lot of nice letters. Every week we read all of the letters. We try to answer those that have a spiritual question. Sometimes we get the wildest questions. And I don't know something about what do the angels eat or something like that. You know, and I said, well, just wait a little bit till you get over there and you can ask for yourself. I don't know what they eat, if they eat anything. But so we don't spend time on that. But you say, get a letter and it says, I want to be saved. I want to be sure I have Jesus. What do I do to be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer said. What must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. We'll try to answer all those letters. Well, here's the first one we want to read, St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And they say, thank you for always letting us know at the end of the program that God loves us. And all of you love us. I'm sure all the people listening need to hear this. God speaks love and encouragement to us to start out the new week ahead. And we can look forward to hearing it again because we all care about the brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's what it is. We're sure we have to say we're telling people that we love them because we really do. And you remember what Jesus tells us in John 13, verses 34 and 35? He says that ye love, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. And so we love as Christians, we love each other, but we love the whole world. And those of you that are way off in sin, maybe you've lived a hard life, maybe you cursed God like Peter did, we love you and God loves you. But I tell you, friends, that love's going to end. When you enter or when you die, the judgment is all set and there won't be love of God then. It'll be the wrath of God if you don't have him. So come to him. The door is wide open. Here's Daytona Beach, Florida. The March newsletter, A New Song, is wonderful. Everything you said about your friend is true. I know him too, albeit not as long as you, but I'm so glad to have him with me in this life and look forward to seeing him soon, I hope, in Christ. And so we're talking about our little new song. It's a little Bible study. And every month we have a new Bible study. And this particular one was about Jesus, my friend. And they just was so happy about that. And we got some other letters on that. And it's a wonderful little Bible study. And get your pencil and paper out. I'm going to tell you the address, and you just write for the new song or the Bible study, and it's sent it free and postpaid. And you say, well, how can you do that? You're going to go broke, won't you? Well, we won't go broke because we're open. We have depend on God's people to support us. And for over 40 years, God's people have supported us, and we've preaching the gospel all over the world. Praise his name. Well, let's see. What's this? West Palm Beach, Florida. Oh, here's a note that they put on the envelope. And on the outside of the envelope, they say, Dear Mr. Postmaster or Postmistress, do you know Jesus? He always loves you no matter what. And that is really God. I think that is so good. We got a couple other letters like that. Jesus loves you, Mr. Postmaster, Mrs. Postmaster, whatever it is. And Jesus loves you. And you know, God commendeth in Romans 5, verse 8, says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, of course, God loves you and we love you. And so just come to Jesus. Then you can get the Spirit of Christ in you and you can love other people too. Here's Yorkshire, England. And they write, Greetings in the name of Jesus. Please, will you send me the heart of a shepherd? I have unsaved family, and I want them to see this. Two sons now and on 51 and 52 are unsaved, but we brought them up in the Christian family, also a daughter. Thank you for the gospel message on Gospel Channel. May God bless you, your ministry. Please continue the good work. You have blessed me as I listen this morning. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's what this is all about. You know, God tells us he is not willing that any should perish. That is, he's not willing that any should go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. And if you come and repent of your sins and ask Jesus into your heart, you'll go to heaven. And you'll dwell in that wonderful city of God. And Paul says, it's so beautiful, I can't put it in, describe it. I can't put it into words. Then let's see. Tulsa, Oklahoma said, I wasn't feeling well, and I missed church, but I caught your graceful message on TV. I felt like I was telling my own salvation story when it comes to grace and forgiveness. Thank you for your honesty. And so here we can tell, I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching now for 75 years, and just about another month, it'll be 75 years. And I know, you'll write in and say, well, how come you can't do any better than you're doing now? And I got a stop prompt answer for that. It's simply, you should have heard me when I started. God has really helped me. So at least you know what I'm talking about. But here's this dear soul, I never get tired of talking about Jesus. That story never grows old. It's always fresh and new and beautiful, that wonderful Savior. Fairbanks, Alaska. Oh, this is a good letter. Well, they're all good, but here's talking about something that's very special to think about. Dear Pastor, your words are inspiring to a young Christian. I gave my heart to Jesus 2 years ago. I knew for a long, very long time, but I was too slow to ask to be redeemed. I'm a 68-year-old male. Thanks for the grace of God, the Holy Bible speaks to me now. I'm reading more scriptures than ever now. I look forward to your Sunday ministry each week. God bless and keep you in Jesus' name. Now, he says something that's interesting here. He says, the Bible, the Holy Bible speaks to me now. Well, didn't it speak to you before? No, not really. I'll tell you, Satan blinds our eyes so that we don't understand the word and so that we're not drawn to it. He blinds our eyes to the things of God. And when we accept Jesus, that blind is taken away and then we'll understand the scripture a lot better. You see, that's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, the God of this world, that's Satan, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he blinds their eyes so you won't see the light. And that's why people say when they accept Jesus, it says, I saw the light. I see the light. What do they mean? They mean that they've come to Jesus and the blinders have been taken off and the word of God will mean more to you than you'll ever imagine when you know Jesus, because the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us in our thinking. Great letter, great truth. Here's one is Okmulgee in Oklahoma. Oh, I know I really did that up, but God bless you. I know you forgive me. But listen to this, it's a sad letter. They write, a 12-year-old African-American boy was shot and killed at his front door. He was baptized by his own request 3 weeks earlier. This was recently in 2019. The church was New Salem Missionary Baptist, where he walked to church. It's a small town. Pray for the church. He said, don't say pray for the little boy. You know why? Don't pray for him. He's in Jesus' arms. He's safe. You can't pray for anybody after they're passed over the grave anyway. So that little boy, oh, is he happy. And God has just got him close to his heart, holding him in his arms. But he says, pray for the church. Look what that would do to the church. One of the little Sunday school boys, and he's shot down dead. And the whole church is shaken up, and maybe, I don't know what's going through their minds. We need to pray for each other. Pray for this church in Okmulgee in Oklahoma. One more letter, Waldport, Oregon. Thank you for sending me a new song. I look forward to studying the Bible every month with your guidance. You are such an inspiration to me. I'm so happy that your ministry reaches the whole world. God bless you and yours in Jesus' precious name. And so that's right. We do reach the whole world by shortwave radio. We reach 95% of the world's population. Whether I think 5 towers or 6 towers that go all the way around the world, reaching 95% of the world by shortwave radio and on by television. I don't know how many, but we are on several different channels, a gospel channel and some of the others. And so we're all over the world with the gospel. And I'll tell you how we do it. We do it because people like you, the Christian people, support us. And we have to have your support. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so if you'd like to help us, you just write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Our address is the Christian Worship Hour. The box is easy, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, good old South Dakota, 57402. Or we're on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you get on that, you can send us a gift over the internet. It's amazing how you can do it. Now, we got one from Norway. They use Norwegian money. I don't know what they call their money over there, but it's money. And we get an American currency and we pay our bills. Now, another thing, we have this new song. That's a little Bible study in this month, which our Bible study is about the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. And it's just a wonderful study. It'll bless your heart and it'll comfort you and it'll strengthen you. And so you said, just, I'd like to have the Bible study. And then they're also talking about this film, The Heart of a Shepherd. And it's about a 10-year-old boy that accepted Jesus. Story of my life, when I accepted Jesus and the wonderful things Jesus has done in my life, how he's blessed me and helped me all these years till I'm 97 years old, pushing 98, good grief. And all those years, I failed the Lord. Oh, I'm not bragging. I'm just confessing my sins. Now I'm going to tell you what the sins are. I'm just going to tell you I'm a sinner, but you will never find out what my sins were. And wouldn't you like to know? You will never know. Because Jesus says, God tells us, come unto me. And he says, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And in Hebrews, he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So you couldn't find my sins if you wanted to. So ho, ho, ho. But you just come to Jesus. You have to have Jesus. That takes all your sins away. Then you can walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. And this film, The Heart of a Shepherd, it tells, we have children that watch it and adults that watch it. And it's a message that to come to Christ. Or if you have a friend, you could tell them about it. And we send it out on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, we'll send you one anybody anyway. But we need to have your help and we need to support you now. And we're not underwritten by any denomination or corporation or denomination or anything like that. We are just dependent on God's people, the sending it to us. So we do this. We just tell if you're a Christian today and you're watching this service, you say, now, dear Lord, should I send money to this ministry? Are you blessing it? Are you using it? Are they true to your word? See, whatever you want. And then God will say yes or he'll say no, because there's other organizations, other groups doing God's work too. We're not the only one. But if he says yes, then you say, how much? And then you say, how much was that, did you say, Lord? And you get your mind straightened out. I don't know if it's a dollar or $1 million. I don't know what it is. Well, we never got $1 million, but who cares? And this is what I want to tell you. I know you're way off, and you say, well, how do I know if they'll use that money wisely? Will they really use it for the gospel? And so we are a member of an international organization, and it's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they check our book, audit our books. And they go through every penny we get and every penny we spend, and we're clean as a hound's tooth. And so just if you send the money, it'll go where it ought to go. So we now have to have your help. Now I'm going to give the address again, because for all of our shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then just, just pray and do as God leads. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then you give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those. Many of them are now in your presence. In these last 40 years, they've already gone to heaven. Thank you for all who have helped us in the past and all who help us today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Thank you for your ministry, your music. Well, we're reading from the book of Job today, Job chapter 19. And as you remember, Job was a very wealthy man. He was a very rich man. And he was a good man. And he was a righteous man. He was the most righteous man of his day. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because God says it. God says he was the most righteous man of his day. And you know the story, he lost all that he had. And he was sitting on an ash pile with boils. And his wife came and said, I'd like to just give you a little advice, Job. Why don't you just curse God and die and get out of your misery? And Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's the kind of faith you have to have. And then Job talks about the end times and a redeemer, a savior that's going to come. And that's what we want to read about today. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Central Africa, the Republic of Central Africa. So let's look at the scripture. He says, oh, that my, he wants to give his testimony now that he believes this redeemer, this kinsman redeemer. He says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven upon him with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold, and not as another, though my reins be consumed within me. That great faith of Job. Heavenly Father, thank you for this man. Thank you for his testimony. And he wanted it. He wished it could be engraven in a rock so that everybody could see it forever. But you did that better than that. You put it in the Bible, and it's all over the world, and it's never going to end. Your word is going to endure forever. It's never going to be outdated or worn out or anything. It's going to abide forever. Heaven and earth can pass away, Jesus said. My word will never pass away. So we pray as we look at this man, Job, Lord, that we'll take comfort and strength, and that we'll have that same faith. We can have it. If he had it, we can have it, because we know you've dealt to every man a measure of faith. So we can believe if we want to believe. And so just help us, Lord, to put full faith in you. And then, Lord, we pray for the people in Central Africa, the Republic of Central Africa. We just pray that you'll encourage them. Lord, I know while we're having this service, then many of them can get us on shortwave radio and can worship with us, and they'll know we're praying for them and ask them to pray for us, because all the American church is so lukewarm. Oh, my God, I don't know what was going to happen with this world. We need to get back to God. The church needs to get back to God and back to God's word and preaching it fearlessly. So you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And we want you all to know that you're a great encouragement to me, and I know to all of people that I know, all of the believers here, you help all of us to live that Christian life. So, dear Lord, may your blessing rest upon them, and someday we'll see them face to face. We'll all sing together round the throne of God. So bless us in this service. Use it to your honor and glory. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us. And she's got a song, Jesus Paid It All. So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus paid it all. We don't pay any of it. You know, there's some people that go around and they're teaching, well, now the way it works is this way. Your life is going to be on a scales, good and bad, your works, your life. And if you have more good works than bad works, you get to heaven. But if you have more bad works than good works, you go to hell. Now, I wish, if you believe that, I wish you'd get the Bible and give me the verse, would you? It's nowhere. I can give you all kinds of verses, just the opposite. For instance, in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, God tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to him that saved us. It's the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness. And then he tells us in Romans, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. There's only one way to get your sins and that get rid of your sins, and that's to come to Jesus and believe in him and trust in him. And you never get to work heaven by works. Because if we did that, we'd all be in heaven and everybody would be bragging of all the good works they did and how much they did to get to heaven, and it'd be a mess. And so what you have to do, you have to come and say, dear Jesus, all of my sins I give to you, every bit of them. And then I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you, I'll follow you. Then you start works, and we're rewarded for good works. But it's not to be saved. There's only one way to be saved, through faith in Jesus. But then after we're saved, then we don't put the cart before the horse, see. Just get, you just accept the Lord and then you serve. It's like one old pastor says, God never cleans his fish till he catches them. And so don't get all cleaned up and fussy and all fixed up nice. You just come to Jesus. In all of your sins and all of your wickedness, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't want to know. And just ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. Promise to turn from them the best you can. You'll never be perfect, but you'll strive to be like Jesus, see? And then thank him. Oh, what a glorious truth. But we're looking at Job today. And he's a man that, as I say in my prayer, he's the most righteous man of his day, because that's what God says. And yet, though he was very godly and he was very, very rich, both rich and godly, he had some things that happened to him. Had some storms and problems and things and thieves and all. And so that he loses his family, as his sons and daughters are all killed. He loses his livestock, he loses his health, he loses his wealth, he loses his reputation, he loses everything. And he ends up on an ash heap, and he's there scraping those boils, and he's about to die. And that's when his wife says, why don't you just get done with it and curse God? And Job had that. He was the most righteous man of his day. And he says, I'm going to tell you something, Mrs. I don't care if God kills me. I'm going to love the Lord, and I'm going to trust the Lord. Though though he kills me, I will never turn my back on Jesus. Makes you think about the persecuted church, doesn't it? How many of them has had to stand up and say, you may take my life, but I'll never turn against Jesus Christ. I'll never deny Jesus. And when I read those stories, I think, oh, would I do that? Would I have the strength? Would I have the faith? And I pray to God I would, but I'm not so sure what I would do. And so this wonderful Job, he gives an example of how to do it. Live for Jesus, love the Lord God, and never doubt him. And so Job answers this, and then he tells about, he has that wonderful faith, and he says, you know, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I have a kinsman Redeemer, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But I know that my Redeemer is alive. He's not dead. He's not out in the cemetery. He is alive. And I know that in the last days, when the time is no more, he's going to stand personally on this earth. And though after this body goes back to the ashes from whence it came, and though it be disappeared into dust, though he says, yet in my flesh, I'm going to see God. This flesh that the worms are going to take care of and take, or might be the fire, might be wild animals are eaten. I don't know what happens, but that flesh is gone. It's only ashes, and it goes back to the ashes, the dirt from whence it came. But he says, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see him. He's going to raise up that body. You say, how can he do that? And Paul says, thou fool, don't you know God? God can do anything. And out of that, he made man out of the flesh, and he can bring man again back out of the flesh. And he says, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. And he says, I'm going to see myself. Mine eyes shall behold and not as a stranger. I'm not going to get a secondhand message. I'm going to see him, and I'm going to know him, that wonderful, wonderful, great God Almighty. He didn't know Jesus because Jesus hadn't come yet, but he knew him as a Redeemer. And so he has such a wonderful faith. It's almost unbelievable. There is so much against him. And yet he cries with full assurance, no doubt, no question about it. And he's going to be, he knows he's going to be raised. Though he dies, he's going to be raised again. Now, this all took place at the dawn of human history. Many Bible scholars think that maybe Job lived before Abraham. We don't know, and it doesn't matter. But Job, however long ago he lived, he had a faith, he had assurance. And this came about by the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit within Job that gave him this hope, that gave him this courage, that gave him this strength. And that same Holy Spirit that helped Job will help you and will help me today. When we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. It's called, in the Bible, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what it simply means is that God takes us, a poor lost sinner, with all of our filth and all of our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. You talk about works. God says there's just filthy rags. If you're working to be saved, they don't mean anything to me. There's only one way, and that's through my son, Jesus, who shed his blood on the cross. And so this wonderful Jesus, this wonderful Savior, becomes our Savior, and he gives us strength. And when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, it just simply means that God takes this body of mine, my with all of my sins, with all of my failures, with all of my doubts, with all of the evil things I've done, with all the things I should have done and didn't do. He takes that person and he changes and he gives it a new spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within that person. And then and the old nature is there yet. That's why we're always tempted to sin. But the Holy Spirit comes, baptized by the Holy Spirit, into the body of Christ. And we are part of the body of Christ, and we're going to dwell with God forever and ever. So this man has this great assurance, and I have that assurance, and you can have that assurance. And it's all in God. It's not in man. Don't trust in men. Don't trust what they can do. And don't trust in yourself because you can't do it. What did Jesus say? He talks to his disciples and he says that he's going to go to heaven he's going to leave them now. He's been with them 3 years and now he's going to go into heaven and he's going to leave them for a time, and they're worried about him. And they says, oh, And they're worried, and Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. This is in John chapter 14, if you want to look it up. Jesus saith unto them, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Look at that. You believe in God, you have to also believe in Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. You believe in God, not enough. You believe in God, believe also in me, in Jesus. Because he is the Savior, see? And he is God, and he is a Savior for us. And then he goes on and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. So heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. We had to be prepared by having Jesus have that righteousness. And though he says, and prepare a place for you. And then he says that where I am, there you may be also. So I'm going to be in heaven, and you're going to have a mansion. We're all going to be together. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? I want to go to heaven, but I don't have a road map. How do I get to heaven? And Jesus says, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to God, the way to heaven, the way for eternal life is through a person, Jesus. And if you don't come through Jesus, there's no other way. That offends a lot of people. I've been preaching now for almost 75 years. I think that probably riles them much as anything else, to have them say that Jesus is the only way, because everybody has his way, and everybody thinks they're right. And that's all right. They think that's right. That's why they believe it. They think it's right. But Jesus says there's only one way. The Son of God says there's only one way, Jesus. And you have to have Jesus. You say, well, how in the world do you have Jesus? And you just simply ask him to come into your heart. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Right now, all over the world, the Holy Spirit is knocking. Jesus is knocking at your door. And Holy Spirit is saying you ought to take the Savior. And then whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, you just invite him in, and I'll come in. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Savior. He goes on, and he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He says, I just wish the whole world would know that. I wish that I could carve it in a rock like Mount Rushmore. And so the whole world could come, and they could see that what I believe, and I believe this thing. Everyone can, but what did God say? Oh, he says, Job, I'll do something a lot better than that. I'll do something better than that. Someday, Mount Rushmore is going to be gone. So I'll put it in the Bible. The Bible's all over the world. All over the world. I don't know how many different languages and dialects and all over the world. And this wonderful Word of God, hundreds of languages written all over the world. And this wonderful Savior saying, your message will go on because my word will abide forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, he said, my word will abide forever. And so you see it at the great white throne when the unsaved, when the unbelievers, they refuse Jesus. They're going to be judged at the great white throne, Revelation, the book of Revelation. And heaven and earth have fled away. They're not going to be a heaven and earth anymore as we know it. There'll be the new Jerusalem instead. And so he wants it to be, and he says, and so then Job says, I want this message put down there. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now there was a lot of things that Job didn't know. He didn't know why his property had been swept away. He didn't know why his children had been taken in death, every last one of them. He didn't know why he had been stripped of every earthly comfort and their allowance. He didn't know why the richest man of all the East was now the most afflicted and the poorest among men. He didn't know that. He didn't know why he had been crushed to the earth by such a great load of sorrow. He didn't know why he was suffering extreme physical pain. There were 101 things that Job didn't know, but there was one thing he did know. He did know. And that is what he's talking about. He knew something. It comes from the depths of his heart. It came from God's gracious spirit. It came from rock-ribbed conviction. This friend, this one, Lord Jesus Christ, giving that same thing today that the Spirit of God gave to Job a long way back. My friends, I want you to know there are many things we do not know in this life. We don't know why we sometimes suffer financial reverses and lose all that we have. We don't know why a loved one is taken and another one is left. We don't know why the young die. Sometimes the young die and the old ordinary things that don't reject the Lord, they live to be old age. We don't understand that. We don't know why the wicked prosper materially and they're not cut off. We don't know why sickness comes to some people and not to other people. There are all kinds of things we don't know. But listen to this. Don't put your whole life on the negative, on what you don't know. Instead, put your whole life on something you do know. So what do you know for sure? Well, Job said, I know. He says, I know. Paul said the same thing. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, I know whom I have believed. I know Christ. I know God through Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And so he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He has said, Paul is saying, I have sinned. I have sinned grievously, but I know that through faith in Jesus Christ, my sins are washed away, never to remember again. We'll never have to face them again. I know. I do not lie awake nights wondering about my awful sins of the past, Paul is saying. I know they're covered under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he tells us in Isaiah. He says in Isaiah 1:18, come now, God is saying, come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, clean and pure. Now, a wool, the outside of a sheep is just as dirty as it can be. But when that is shorn, it's white, it's glistening white with lanolin. I've seen it. I used to tie wool. One of my first jobs was tying wools for the sheep shearers. And I know all about the wool. It's beautiful and it's so soft and wonderful. And he says, though your sins be like that, going to be white as snow. No sign of them. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? Don't you want to get rid of those sins that plague you and you worry about and you wonder about? So, oh, my dear friends. And so Paul says, I know that my sins are gone again. I know they're away. Another thing St. Paul said was, we know in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. It's our faith is a no-so faith. When I say, I know I'm going to heaven, they say, that's presumptuous. And I says, no, it's not presumptuous. It's just trusting Jesus, just trusting God. And I put my faith in him and I lean on him. And that's all put in the Lord. And I know, and the reason I know is in John chapter 10, God said, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Jesus is talking, and they shall never perish. And then he says, I hold them in my hand, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And then the next verse says, the Father in heaven holds the hands of Jesus, and they hold the hands together, and they hold us in his hand. And so when we come to die, don't be like the man who called me. And his wife died that night, and the next day he called me. And he says, I told unto my wife, hold on to Jesus as hard as you can. Hold on to Jesus. But you see, Jesus is telling us, look it up for yourself, John 10:28-29. He says, I hold you in my hand. You don't hold on to me, I hold on to you. And when you put your faith in me, I'll take you in my hand and I'll hold you. And that's why Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that I'm all right. I know that I'm going to heaven because I'm in my Father's hand. And I have a Redeemer, a kinsman Redeemer. And that was in the Jewish law. That if somebody was taken into slavery or somebody was overcome in debt, a kinsman, a relative, had to go and pay that price and set that man free. And so this is what happened. All of humanity went into sin. and we're on the way to hell. And Jesus comes and he's God. And how is he going to save us? He has to become one of us. And so he's born of the Virgin Mary. And he goes to the cross and he dies on the cross. And he sheds his blood. He's God and he's man. He dies as a man, but he never dies as God because God can't die. And so he's put into the grave and he's put into Hades in the heart of the earth as the Son of Man was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth like Jonah. He is so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And his spirit and his soul was in the heart of the earth. His body was on the surface of the earth in the tomb. Spirit and soul was in the heart of the earth. And the third day he came back. And he paid for our sins, and all of our sins are paid. And all we need to do is to come to him and forsake those sins the best we can and ask him to come into our heart. I did that when I was 10 years old, 88, almost 89 years ago. I remember it as plain as day, and I was just a little kid. And I asked Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll live for you the best I can. Jesus taught repentance. You turn from those wicked ways as best you can. And when you fail, you just ask him to forgive you. And he says, if we confess our sins, I'll take away your sins. And if we confess our sins, I'll forgive you every time. And maybe you sinned 1,000 times, he'll forgive you every time. He says, my grace is greater than all of your sins. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You don't understand anything about grace because Christianity is the only religion in the whole world that talks about grace. And grace means undeserved. We're giving something we don't deserve. And we didn't deserve Jesus dying for us. I didn't deserve him doing that. I was a sinner. He never had sinned in his life, ever in his existence. And so he comes to the wonderful Savior. He goes to that cross. He pays that price. And when I ask him to come into my heart, he comes in and he washed away my sins. I was 10 years old and he's never left me. And oh, I wished I'd have been a better Christian because I failed the Lord a lot of times, but he always forgave me. I told him, Lord, I'm sorry for that sin. And he always forgives me because he loves me, the love of God. And that wonderful love saved me. And I know that I'm going to see the Lord. And that's what Job is talking about. I'm going to see God. I'm going to see my Redeemer. I'm going to be in the flesh. And it's all because I'm trusting. I'm not doing any works and I'm not paying my way. I'm not trying to get around it and figure some way to get to heaven. I'm just trusting Jesus. And just like Melissa just sang, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's what Jesus did for me, and that's what Jesus will do for you. And you pray that now. Just when you say, well, I've never prayed before. I don't know what to say. You just talk to Jesus. I talked to a man. He was dying of a brain cancer, and he knew his time was limited, and I talked to him about his soul. And I said, you just have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And he prayed audibly as I was with him. And he prayed about Jesus to forgive him of his sins, the sins of commission, the sins of omission. And he prayed for that, just a beautiful prayer, just talking to Jesus. And when he was done, he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. He didn't know he's supposed to say amen. It doesn't matter. You just talk to Jesus. Just talk to the Father through the Son. And when you do that, you'll have eternal life. So I pray that you'll do it right now. Just pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins and I'll walk with you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Then you do your good works and do all the good you can, but just not to get saved, but because you are saved. And if you make that prayer, I hope you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and we'll send some literature to you. No matter where you are in the whole world, we'll send you literature on walking with Jesus and getting started with Jesus. And in the meantime, just get a Bible read the Gospel of John. Start with the Gospel of John, and then just read that, and God will show you. He'll lead you along the way. If you'd like to have this Bible study, you say you'd like to have the new song or the Bible study, and be sure to help us financially, because we're just like what James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people, they'll think you got plenty. So we just live from hand to mouth. We just got enough to carry on, and every day we're praying that God will provide. And he never has failed us for over 40 years. And remember, too, you were a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And if you have something you're worried about us handling that money, it's all above board, and it's all audited and kept clean. So you write to us and pray for us. Now I'm going to pray for you, all of you folks. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time we've had together. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is talking to people all over the world. And all over the world, there are people making that prayer, asking Jesus to come into their heart. And heaven is rejoicing because of people coming to Jesus. Oh, and we'll give you the praise and the glory, and thank you. And Lord, we pray for those on sick beds, and we pray for the young people that have decisions to make, maybe with drugs and they're having a problem. Help those, dear Lord, that are little children that can open their heart to you like I did. Help the people who are shut-ins and can't get out. Oh, God, bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Trust Jesus. See you next Sunday.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.